I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, which means I'm amped up, even though it's early. And I appreciate everybody showing up for the early show. It is 8 a.m. Tuesday, 13th. I'm with the best in the business, the Wayne Breezy, remote location. How are we doing today, Wayne?
We're doing good on this beautiful, sunny, still summer day out here at Ballard's Beach in Rhode Island. I'm back. I'll be performing for the next 3 days. But it's good to hear. It's good that 49er football is back. It's good that the John and Wayne show is back. You've been on the training camp tour, so it's good to have you back. It's good to be back with you. Let's get this John and Wayne show popping.
I love it. And I was joking with Wayne earlier. I knew exactly where he was because we record so much. I know his remote locations. I'm like, oh, I know where you're clocking in. That's what's up, man. That's incredible. And so shout out to Wade, hardest working man in the business. And I'm pumped because, you know, as the season starts, we record more together. And so Tuesdays, we're going to have our show. Wednesday or Thursdays, we're not quite sure. We'll be over on his channel. So no matter what you do, if you just do one thing today, type in the Wayne Breezy, whatever app you're on. You're going to see the smile. You're going to see the swag. Hit subscribe. We're going to be over there all year long. So make sure you support the Wayne Breezy. Thank you, Raphael562. Appreciate you, man. We even got Matthew in the house. So today's episode is going to be a little different because what I wanted to do, obviously, we're going through film and all that stuff. I wanted to step back because Wayne and I, we're both film guys, and we pay attention to the smallest detail on all the things all the time, which I love. But I want to step back and kind of look at the forest for the trees and pay attention to, okay, these are some of the things that we've got to pay attention through throughout the year that could rear their ugly heads and kind of put, I don't know, a jam in the 49ers season, some major 49ers issue. Not that it's a negative episode, but that these are some of the main issues, and we're already starting to see them with injuries, and that's where we're going to start. But what are some of these things that could kind of derail the 2024 49ers team? So, Wayne, let's start with injuries. Seems it's not quite 2020 49ers bad, but there is a long list, man, of injuries. The infirmary report is it's getting longer and longer.
I haven't heard the word infirmary since college, but that's where you went. It wasn't called the hospital. It was the infirmary. But no, definitely a concern. It wouldn't be a major concern to me unless it happened to, you know, specifically a certain player at a certain position. I feel like that would be a major, like your quarterback, your defensive end, your left tackle, like those guys. I think other than that, I think the 49ers did a good job at building this roster, developing talent, and creating good depth. So we always preach the next man up mentality, but when we're hit with the adversity, we're like, oh my God, it's panic season, it's panic mode. No, it's next man up mentality. It's always going to be that. So we always want guys to get opportunities, John. And, you know, we can look at the injuries as a negative Nancy or situation, or we can look at it from a positive view to where some player is going to get an opportunity. And the question is, what will they do with the opportunity? And for some players, that's where opportunities come. And it's unfortunate, but they come at the expense of an injury to a different player. Now, there are only a few players that are probably that are out for the season, like Drake Jackson's out for the season. Dre Greenlaw's on the PUP, so he has the ability to return. So we're waiting on that. Look at Ambry Thomas. He has a broken hand, I believe. We don't know the situation or how long the duration is going to be for that. Will he go on the IR? You can break that down. And then you got Kalia Davis. These are depth pieces, though. These are players that were going to provide great rotation at some point or get the opportunity to come out there, you know, if need be. So I'm looking at it from a positive light, man. Like, next man up, put your pads on. Get out there and show what you know. Make your mistakes, learn from them, keep it moving.
Man, I love that. And I kind of want to go down that tunnel, but I want to get to this question first because I've gotten a lot of emails on this. Shout out to Cynthia. She's the best. She says, what's up with the new strength conditioning program? So we only lost one guy. Like, we lost the head of our strength and conditioning program. The rest of the team stayed. Like, I don't know how many people are on that team, at least 5 to 6. But the main guy left. How much, Wayne, do you put on, we lost our main strength conditioning trainer guy? Does that make a coincidence?
I mean, the main guy is the main guy. Maybe he took some of his main secrets with him. But again, next man up. Staff need to get together. And these are weird injuries, though. We're talking, the 49ers got about, 23, 24 injuries, and I feel like 20 of them are hamstrings. It's just weird, right? So they got to do a better job at getting these players, warming them up. I wonder how many of the players are going, like, extra harder, too. Like, they're trying to make a name for themselves. They're trying to secure a spot on that 53-man roster. People forget we at 90, and they got to trickle it down to 53. So guys are going harder than they normally would. They're getting these opportunities. They want to show that they can do what they can do. And next thing you know, they're getting weird injuries. And some of the injuries are happening with players just walking onto the field. Man, look, it's football. I don't want to put too much into the strength and conditioning, but the strength and conditioning needs to look at these injuries and figure out a way, especially the soft tissue ones, and figure out a way how to manage them. Right. So that they don't develop into, you know, ACL tears and things like that down the line.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, Vicky comes out. She says, you know, our quarterback literally got his job from this next man up mentality. And so you brought up, like, who are these opportunities going to go to? We had 23 injuries heading into the Titans game. We added 3 with Ambry Thomas, Kalia Davis, Frank Darby. Frank Darby's now gone. Ambry Thomas, I want to talk a little bit more about IR in a second. But, Wayne, my question to you is, who are we looking to step up with some of these injuries? There's been a lot of wide receiver injuries. There's been a lot of defensive tackle injuries, a lot of corner issues. Who is somebody that kind of stands out to you that could step up in this role? Chris Conley's definitely one of the ones that have seized the moment on the offensive receiver side. But who else stands out to you that could kind of step up and gets more of a chance because of this?
Yeah, you know, the Frank Darby injury is a little weird because I don't think they disclosed it, but they did waive him because of an injury. And then they brought in and signed Robbie Chosen. So I think the 49ers are literally just, like, testing people out. Like, it's like going to a car lot and testing out the used car. Like, that's what they're doing with these veterans, these old guys. I love what I saw from Chris Conley, but we've always loved what we saw from Chris Conley. I hope Kyle Shanahan doesn't play the politics as usual game. You already know where I'm going with that, with the practice squad. But
I do like that they put him in front of the mic. That, I thought that was like...
That was amazing. That was, like, he needs to speak a lot more. He was well worth listening to. Great sounding voice. Wasn't monotonous. I feel like I'm telling on everybody else. But you get what I'm saying. Like, he was a breath of fresh air. If somebody new, new face, we were like, yeah. But who am I looking to step up? I mean, in that wide receiver room, you got guys that have been on this team. And I'm not going to front. I'm looking for my second year guy out of Michigan, Ronnie Bell, to step up. But I can understand he's still a second year player. You got some third year guys. You got some fourth year guys. Like, these are Danny Gray. Take off the blue non-contact jersey, dog. Get out there and be a dog. Man, like we got to get these guys to step up, especially at that wide receiver spot, because Kyle Shanahan breeds dogs, and we need to find out who's going to be a dog, who can weather the storm. Now, they're dealing with these weird injuries. Jake McCowan, weird hamstring injury. Again, trying to get acclimated back to the mix in practice and training camp, but still not 100%. So, you're going to have to rely on your savvy vets, and that's where they come in. This is where Robbie Chosen is going to come in. This is where I just talked about Ronnie Bell can make a name for himself with the opportunity that he's given. Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams honestly holding out, we'll get to that or whatever, them being out is a blessing and in disguise, because now you're going to really get to see who can really take the reins if they had to due to whatever. So – that wide receiver room just got to get tougher. I like what I saw from Trent Taylor. I'm not saying he's going to make this roster, but great returns, secured, sure hands, was a great run blocker, like rated high. He was the highest non-offensive lineman run blocker in the game for PFF, but he was out there doing things with his little self. So does he step up? So the vets, it's the vets. The vets are going to get their opportunities. Kyle loves his vets. And so in that wide receiver room, I think the vets are going to make a name for themselves. Now, on the opposite end of the – on the defensive side, I think the young corners, not necessarily the – they're not loaded with a bunch of vets, right? They're loaded with a bunch of young talent. And so I thought Renardo Green played very well in his first preseason game, but it's going to be interesting to see how they kick up. I think those young guys, man, are going to step up and make a name for themselves. So it's all about the mentality, bro, and carpe diem, man. Seize the moment.
I love that. And it's funny because we all thought it was going to be Ricky Pearsall would be the benefactor of Ayuk being out, right? Like, oh, we're going to get this young pup all these reps. He's had not one, not two, but three injuries. And it's just like, we can't get him out there. We just cannot. And it seems like whoever they bring in at X is getting injured. And I think there's like four separate wide receivers they brought in there that have all dealt with injuries. And so, yeah, we'll see what it is. Now, I want to talk about the IR rule, because they talked about Ambry Thomas. He broke his forearm, wrist, hand, you know, whatever. He's going to be out for a long time. Kalia Davis goes and messes up his knee. And Shanahan said he's going to miss about half of the season. Now, here's what's new this year. So the new IR rules, you get eight players that get to come back from IR. Okay. So you have to miss four games, then you can come back. Now they added this year, you can put two players on IR before your initial 53-man roster and they can come back. The only difference is you have to pre-designate whether they come back, and they count as one of your eight, whether they come back or not. So we saw with Drake Jackson, they just put him on IR and it was done. Like, he's not one of ours. Okay. He's not coming back this year. He's just, his 2024 season is 100% done with the 49ers.
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams one passing yard. Every week in Sam Tipper. That's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you can combine that again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week 1. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams one pass yard. Bet $20, you win $60 on that. It's so simple right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win. So it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research and they've come up with the idea, you want to help dogs' health, you got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on our old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch. ranch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today. The 49ers Rush platform is looking for sponsors for the 2024 49ers season. Help out us podcast, and we have rates as low as $75 starting just so you can advertise with us. We have over 100,000 social media subscribers and average well over 20,000 views/listens per episode. So get on with the faithful and get your product out there. Reach out to us at 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com and get started today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Now, Kalia Davis and Ambry Thomas are interesting because I think Kalia Davis, they want back, whatever Shanahan said, half the season. Ambry Thomas, I don't know. Do you think that factors into the fact that both these players are still on our roster? Because, you know, you made some, you added Robbie Chosen, but you didn't put one of these players on IR, because once they go on IR, you get those spots back, those 91 spots that you get to, you know, have on your team. What do you think about that with Ambry Thomas and Kalia Davis?
It's interesting, right? Because it all comes down to the room. I mean, we're looking at, you know, what they do on the football field. And I thought Kalia Davis had a way better game before his injury. He played the majority of the game, but I thought he had a way better game than what Ambry Thomas put out there before his injury. And for me, it just looks like Ambry Thomas is just not gelling, you know?
I don't think it's a fit for him. He needs a less physical team. We asked a little too much.
Yeah, I don't think it's about the physicality. It's funny that you brought that up. I think he's better, more on the press man. Every time you watch Ambry Thomas line up on your film, what is he doing? He's playing off, right? He's playing off the man. He has to figure out the zones. He's struggling with the zone coverage. It's like, I think it's too complicated for him. And for some reason, he's just making all the mental errors, and he can't recover from them. And there comes your missed tackles. There comes your beating on double moves. And I'm not trying to, you know, throw him down, but this is just what I see when I'm watching film. I think he was a sure tackler last year. He was one of the best tackling corners. And then in this game, He just looked, he looked bad. Now, it could have been because of the broken forearm, wrist, or whatever. We don't know when that happened. So he could have been playing in some type of weird, excruciating pain. But as no excuses, I just feel like Ambry Thomas wasn't going to be a lock because of the way that the cornerback room is. You got Darrell Luter Jr. coming back off of his little minor injury or whatever. And then you got Samuel Womack III that's looking to make a spot. So that's why I said these young guys are dogs. And when it comes to Ambry Thomas and the situation, it's weird because Kyle Shanahan made it seem like he loves Ambry Thomas. Like, you have to listen to the presser. After
he's been
game.
Getting the fourth team, the number four corner reps almost all of training camp. So, like, your top three corners, you know, Charvarius Ward, Diamador Lenore, then Isaac Yiadom.
Interesting.
He's been the first in nonstop, and that's 2 years in a row. You know, he climbed out of the doghouse, quote unquote, last year with Wilkes, and he hadn't had a bad camp. He hadn't had a good camp either. But he's gotten the benefit of the doubt over Rockyson, over Renardo Green until those last couple of days of training camp. So, yeah, I just don't know. I'm not the biggest Ambry fan just because I don't think it's a fit.
I know he's not a fit. Like, and it took me a minute because I was like, yo, why isn't he grasping the concepts on the defense when it comes to zone? He struggles in zone coverage. And then because he struggles in zone coverage, he struggles in man coverage, which is weird because he's a better man corner. So
Wiggins, I remember breaking down the Clemson first round draft pick, right? Like, he's a damn good player.
This
dude does not fit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want him on this team. And that's the same way I feel about Ambry. Like, it doesn't mean he's a bad football player. Yeah. I just hope he finds a better fit.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to. So the question is, what's going to happen to him? So my guess is that he goes on season ending IR, but if they do that, the 49ers are still going to own his rights for the next season. So he'll be back.
Yeah.
Like, it's the game. It's a game. It's a game of politics on how to manipulate the system. And Kyle, to me, is the GOAT at manipulating the system. Once he understands the rules and the regulations, he finds bylaws on how to manipulate it. And I think that's where Ambry Thomas, he'll be a stash player just like Drake Jackson. And then they'll get an opportunity, and they're still going to be dirt cheap. So you're not spending a lot of money on free agency. Now the question is, how will they play? But I just don't think Ambry's a good fit. Khalil Davis, on the other hand, man, I want to see him ball out, man. Every time he's on the football field, I feel like he has the ability to make an impact. I don't care if he's going against ones, twos, threes, or fours. Healthy, I think he can be a problem. And as a good rotational piece, I don't see him as a starter, but I see him as a good depth piece. And it's unfortunate that he's going to be out for about half the season after the knee surgery. So will he be back? That might be a guy Kyle Shanahan puts on IR, but designates to return. So that might be one of the players that he wants to bring back, one of the eight.
I agree. I thought he had his best game. It was preseason, but he was out there doing it against, you know, the Titans ones and twos. So I thought he was the number five guy. And we'll talk a little bit more about stopping the run and all that stuff in a minute. But shout out to my man, Dave. He's one of the producers of our 91 roster countdown series. He says, injuries are always number one issue with any team. I'm concerned, and this will take us to our next topic, about the BA drama and how that messes with the locker room chemistry. Now, I do a point to stay away from all BA-related topics on almost all my shows until Wade shows up, because he's my go-to. This is the guy I go to. The podcasters listen to Wayne Breezy whenever we talk about this. So, Wayne, let's do our weekly contracts update. This is a concern. Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, take it wherever you want to go.
All right, so there's a report out there that Trent Williams is and the 49ers, there's no significant movement going on. Okay, so it's stale. And it's going to be stale. It's a deal that's got to get done. Now, I'm sure the Niners are trying to find a way to make a deal with Trent Williams, trying to find a way to give this guy the guarantees that he needs to show back up at the age that he is to play elite level football. But I'm going to tell you right now, John, I get a weird feeling, and usually my intuition, it just comes to pass. I get a feeling the longer he stays away, the harder it is going to be for him to return. And what do I mean by that? I mean, he was contemplating retirement at one point. And I know he toyed with the fans. He wants to come back. There's things he can break, records he can break. He needs a Super Bowl to solidify, I think, his spot in the Hall of Fame. There's so many things he can still do. But he is at home with his girls. And so it's kind of tough. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying he's going to retire. I wouldn't be surprised if he decided to hang up the cleats. You know, I just wouldn't be surprised. Brandon Ayuk situation. I mean, we know what it is. Here's what it is. Ayuk wants to be a Niner. The Niners want Ayuk. How are they going to find a way to agree on a number that fits? That's the balance of the two. The two powers. I need people to stop saying Brandon Ayuk isn't worth money. Stop saying that Brandon Ayuk isn't this, isn't that, because Brandon Ayuk makes the 49ers offense better. At the beginning of this show, if you were paying attention to anything that John said, he said all of the injuries at the wide receiver position came from the X position. There's an X, there's a Y, there's a Z. Brandon Ayuk is the X. It's ironic how that particular young fella found a way to stay relatively healthy his 4 years here in San Francisco. So the Niners might start looking at it like, hey, man, we're going to have to budge that number up. 0.2. Let's go ahead and get it up. Give him $200,000 extra. Let's go ahead and get him in here, man. We need to solidify this spot. You get what I'm saying? So it's just a numbers game, ladies and gents. I believe Brandon Ayuk wants to be here. I'm not him, but I believe that's what's really going on.
I like it. Dave says, hopefully school starts and Trent gets bored enough to come back to work.
I hope so too, Dave. I'm hoping he's not enjoying. I don't want to say this in the wrong way. Hoping he's enjoying his family time. But sometimes when you get that, it's a moment that hits you and you just be like, I want to enjoy more family time. So yeah. I'm hoping he wants to come back to it.
Come on, man. Do the Tom Brady thing. And I've never said that about any situation in my life, but that's okay. I think Trent just wants to stay away from trading camp. I think he just doesn't want – he doesn't like practicing on Wednesdays. He's just like, man, just let me show up.
He has every Wednesday off, right?
He has every Wednesday off the whole season.
I'm trying to negotiate another day off.
Every other Thursday.
Every other Thursday. Yeah. That's a good point. Awesome.
And you know what? I think we need like, you know, Wedding Crashers, where you got like Vince Vaughn and like they're the
one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, they're like, you know, you throw some miles my way, I'll throw some miles your way. We'll just call it a day. That's what we need in the Brandon Ayuk set. Just meet right in the middle. Like if Brandon Ayuk wants 30, the 49ers have offered 26.5. Let's just boom right in the middle. Let's divide that by two, whatever that difference is. Salute, we're done.
Easy it is, right?
Seems that way. But I've worked with agents. They are the worst. They're necessary. I hate them. I hate them. I don't like working with them, but they're good at what they do, and I hope Ayuk gets everything that he can. But I want him to stay. I do want him to stay, and we'll see. It's going to work itself out, hopefully. We'll see. Now, let's get to our next major issue, and this is something we've already kind of touched on a little bit today. The 49ers seem to almost always give the benefit of the doubt to the veteran player over the promising youngster. So, do we think that that's a trend that continues? Here's just a couple, you know, just spots that I've already seen this kind of play out during training camp. DFF over D Winners, George Odom over Malik Mustafa, Spencer Burford, you know, over Dominique Pooney. Talk to me, Wayne. Are the 49ers going to do the 49ers thing where the vet gets the, you know, the nod over the youngsters? Is that going to continue?
That's not my style, but that seems to be the 49ers style. It's about trust.
Shanahan's phrase? The moment's not too big for him. I think I've heard him say that 30 times.
That's what it is, bro. And so, you know, I think Chris Forster and Dominic Pooney, I think that's a rare situation. I don't see how he loses the starting job. There's not a vet. Because I don't see Spencer Burford as a vet, even though he's a vet. I don't see John Feliciano playing better at the guard spot. than Dominic Pooney.
Week one, you got Quentin Williams. Does that factor into the equation?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Oh, I love it. Man,
Absolutely not. We talk about a 320-pound offensive lineman that's ready to kick some mother freaking beep. I don't got my buttons. You get what I'm saying? Like, Dominic Pooney kicks off, fires up. He gets low. He's pushing people back. He was great in pass pro. Got to work on his run blocking, but great in pass pro. I just don't see. He wants that challenge. You as an offensive line coach, you want him to get that challenge. That's welcome to the NFL challenge right there. And if he passes that test, ain't gonna be too many defensive tackles he's gonna have to worry about. You get what I'm saying? So I like that test, man. I don't think Dominic Pooney's doing anything to lose the job. Again, we talked about at the beginning of the show, and Vicky put it out there. Man, listen, Brock Purdy got his job from an opportunity. Christian McCaffrey's father, Ed, said, listen, if you can play injured, play. But if you can't, good luck getting your job back. Cass is ready to take your spot. That's just the name of the game. Don't get injured.
It's crazy to me. And, you know, I like this from Dave. You know, Kyle and John have adjusted their draft strategy a few times, which I do like. Yeah, they went away from off-the-field stuff with Reuben Foster. They went away from the inexperience with Trey Lance. They went away from the injured stuff with Javon Kinlaw. They've changed it three times that they just don't mess with these players anymore. Now, can that adjust also to letting younger players get reps? We'll see. And, you know, one of the ones I didn't even put in my notes. Sorry about that. Papa J comes in. Mitchell over Mason. That's what's happening there, too. Now, Mason goes out and has a great game, but struggled with the one play in pass pro that he was out there out of the 11, that very first play. We were texting about this, Wayne. So let me ask you this. Let's assume, this is a big assumption, Elijah Mitchell's healthy. Who's the first backup to come Elijah into the game? Mitchell. You think Elijah Mitchell? You've been on Team Mitchell for a minute.
It's not even about being Team Mitchell. I'm Team Mitchell, Team Mason, Team McCaffrey. Them are your three running backs. Okay. Now, as far as Mason, it just seems like when the Niners run a certain style of running, Mason's going to feast. His only issues to me is consistency in the pass pro game. And you can't just go out there and just run the ball on every single down because once you can until the defense figures it out, and then they're going to start putting eight in the box. And then if you got Mason out there when it comes to a pass down and he misses a blitzing linebacker, and now your quarterback is going to throw an incomplete pass, an interception, or potentially get hurt, that you have to question that. And so that, to me, is where he still has to figure out. Now, he needs the reps. Practice ain't it. It's going to happen again because he literally didn't do anything wrong other than the fact he was delayed on the block. Like, that's it. Like, he was like, oh, shit. Oh, snap. I got a block. That's what it was. I was like, oh, no. I was wondering why that ball was so, like, into the ground to Ronnie Bell. And it was because the blitzer. They just beat. Nah, Mason was late on the block. So I'm not saying he's like that on every play, but those are the plays that Kyle Shanahan looks at and be like, I can't trust him yet.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we could come in and close a game because we're not going to be throwing the ball. But as far as being in that game, now, if there's an injury to Elijah Mitchell, you better go Jordan Mason hands down, pass pro or not, because that guy is going to get you 7-8 yards to carry.
Now, I want to just do a really quick step out of the 49ers round because we're talking about injuries. We're talking about rotations and stuff. And so two things came across. One, you know, talking injuries, rookie Tyrone Tracy, who was a fifth-round running back for the Giants, just got carted off the field at practice on a non-contact injury, which is awful. It's heartbreaking. And that dude was fighting for the number two spot. And so
I think he was fighting for the number one spot.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. Devin Singletary, really Eric Gray.
Nah, but they really loved that kid. I mean, I watched Hard Knocks. They really loved him.
He was a fun player. I liked him a lot. But so injuries happen to every team out there, all over the place. That's what it is. But there was a clip. I think it was yesterday or maybe this morning. Mike McDaniel for the Dolphins head coach. They asked him, you have two running backs listed as your starters. Why do you do that? There's only one starter. And he went off, not really a rant, but it was like a 3-4 minute answer that I thought was awesome. And he's like, I wanted to put four players as my starters at running back because I want to let the players dictate who gets the playing time. All of them are on this, you know, current, you know, blank slate or whatever, or equal playing field. But whenever the game starts and you give the carries and you divide the carries up, the players determine who gets the playing time after that. Let them dictate who deserves that time in the game. So, like, you ride the hot hand and all that stuff. So I thought it was a really fresh approach. I really miss Mike McDaniel. I love that dude. Obviously, I'm very happy Shanahan's our guy. But it was just, like, an interesting approach to – he sees everything just from a very weird, different angle. But I kind of liked it. I don't know. What do you think of that? Wait, it's like, no, it's just no.
Nah, I don't know. I have no comments on that.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so now what about the safety spot? Now, I think George Odom's played really well.
Yeah.
Now that Mustafa came out, he probably had two of the biggest plays of the game. I did think that he had a lot of mistakes as well, but talk to me about that safety room.
Safety room is tough. That might be the hardest room to make the roster. It's not super deep. And so I think George Odom and Jair Brown gonna be your starting safeties, even if Talanoa Hufanga is cleared to play. And you have to do it like that because you gotta ease Hufanga back in. You know, you're not gonna just throw him out there.
Currently we're 4 weeks away.
If he's able to come back this week, cleared by his doctors, that's great. If he's not doing anything this week, right?
Now we're down to three. Is there a cutoff for you? Like, you need 3.5-4 weeks? Like, is that the time period? Yep. What do you
think? I mean, you really want to see him moving laterally, right? Like, because he has to make those cuts and he plays such off of impulse and impact. I think it's going to take time to build up. Now he's got to go out there and make that first hit. I don't think you have to start him right away because of the safety depth and the talent that you have there. To me, George Odom is taking a big leap in that safety department. We're going for a guy that played safety, then played mainly special teams, became an all-pro special teams player, and then was like a backup safety when he was with the Colts, right? And so now he's with the Niners. He did the same thing because we had our safety room locked. And then when he came in on certain plays or had to play, he wasn't good at the safety spot. And so now that he's getting the reps there, he's starting to build the muscle memory of the safety. He's starting to communicate out there. And I think that's what's most important. Then you got the young Jair Brown that looks like he's just taking full command. And then when Hufanga comes back, I think this just helps the 49ers. You don't have to rush him back. It's all about having and utilizing your pieces at the right time. It's chess, not checkers. And so what's the point of rushing him out there on the football field if you already got George Odom playing at a good level of football where you want him to play? So I like the safety room, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's four safeties we talking about, right? And I like what I saw from Jalen Mahoney. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, undrafted free agent. Like, he's playing. He's played some ball. And so I'm with you. That safety, it's funny because we thought the safety was going to be a major issue. And people were talking like, oh, bring on Justin Simmons and all this stuff. I think they like what they have. And George Odom, I mean, I think he led in camp for most interceptions. Him and Demo, Diamador Lenore. Like,
yes, good point. Yes.
He was playing ball. Hawks.
They're ball hawks, man. That's what you mean.
Nick Sorensen said at OTAs that the most improved player was George Odom. And I was like, come on, man. Like, that's – you can't do that. And then I go to camp and I'm like, yeah, most improved player is George Odom. Like he wasn't lying to us. He told us what it was. And
he had a couple brain farts in the preseason game, but other than that, he was good. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. RTP, Odom definitely played well through camp. Matthew was with me at almost all those training camp practices. 30 was out there balling. Dave, is Huff a pup candidate? He is, but once they activate him after this next week, which they said they're going to do, and Huff's out there like – Hufanga's out there at practice every day, and he keeps amping up. Like, he was, like, running drills a few days ago and giving guys steps and, like, you know, working the DB drills where they're working the shoulders, where he kind of, like, jogs and you mirror match and all that stuff. So, like, Huff is ready. You can feel his excitement just in sweats out there at training camp. Like, and understand this, and let me just say this. This is my opinion. Wayne, please disagree or agree, whatever. It's Huff, and there's a big gap between anybody else. Mm-hmm. Then there's Jair Brown, and there's an even bigger gap between
anybody. George Odom. Yeah.
Those two.
That's who you want on the field. All the time.
All pro safety, and Jair Brown has taken leaps and bounds. That's
who you want on the field. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's who you want on the field.
But don't rush Huff back.
That's my only thing. Like, you don't, I'm not saying if we didn't have the luxury of having great depth in that room, then Huff needs to bring his ass back as quickly as possible. But because we do have that, Huff is going to be fresh. You could run different types of format. You could put three safeties out on the football field. Like, you could do the big nickel, like where he's playing in a slot. There's so many different ways you can utilize the system. I think Nick Sorensen is smart enough to do it. And I think Huff will eventually. It's not going to be like the Jimmy Ward situation. It's nothing like that. No. Jimmy Ward, and the reason why, you know why it's not going to be like Jimmy Ward situation? Because we talk about Huff. Who took Jimmy Ward's spot? Huff, right? And so, like, when you think about it, Huff is going to get his spot back. It's just ease him back into the system and let him get his feels out there. If he plays week one, he's getting an interception. He'd be the first 49er to get an interception if he plays.
Oh, I freaking love it. That is awesome. That is awesome. Now, we got a couple more issues I want to talk about, but before we do, if you're going to anything, any road trips this year, you got to come party with us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code, ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
Just want to update you real quick, just not Niners news, but we brought it into the show, so I want to clarify. Dan Duggan said rookie running back Tyrone Tracy muffed a kickoff and went to get the ball, and his leg buckled. Immediately, they put an air cast on his right leg and carted him off. So that means compound fracture probably 99% of the time. So that's
he's done for the season.
So not ACL, hopefully, which is all right, but it's a bone break. And yeah, when they put that air cast on, it's because they're trying to minimize swelling. There's a break in there almost probably 99 times out of 100. Maybe my percentage is off, but that sucks. I hate to hear that. All right, let's go to the next issue. We got two more that I want to talk about. We alluded to this a little bit with Kalia Davis. My biggest question mark this entire offseason, after free agency, after the draft, the 49ers didn't draft a defensive lineman at all. They never really signed a big run plugger, 320-pound defensive tackle. We saw a little bit of these issues in the Titans game already. What's the concern level on a scale of 1 being not concerned, 10 being, oh my gosh, this is insane, of the 49ers being able to stop the run game? Up the middle. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm at a 5, bro. Like, I need to see it in a real game, dog. Preseason helps. They still couldn't stop it up the middle. They got better as the game went along, but a lot of teams have bruiser backs. It's not all about the crazy outside zone speed, which I feel like the Niners are more equipped to. That's that Y9 too, man. Like, I would love for them to switch that philosophy a little bit, man. Move the defensive line in a little bit tighter, just a little bit. Don't be so wide. I wonder if that's part of the alignment that kind of screws it up. But look, I like who we have. I just need to see Malik Collins and Jordan Elliott out there on the football field together. Javon Hargrave as well. It's like, I just need to see what they're going to be like together. I believe those two guys, they're 300 pound plus. They're not your nose tackle type of defensive tackles, but they got some weight to them. So these offensive line aren't going to be to just push these guys out the way. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think they'll be able to hold their own. So I believe the run up the middle will get better. I'm more concerned with missed tackles than I am with the rushing. I think the Niners will adjust to rushing game and giving up a lot of rushing yards. They pride themselves on that. I think they'll figure that out. I'm more concerned about missed tackling still. Like, we just go for big hits all the time. This is not Madden. Just rap and tackle.
Yeah, I like that.
Speaking of Madden, even in the new Madden, you go for the big hit now if you want to on a guy like Debo, you're going to bounce off. And Debo going to keep moving. Like, that's how they made the game. Like,
are
like,
you doing your Madden simulation?
Absolutely. Without a mother loving doubt.
If you're a Madden fan, you got to go follow the Wayne Breezy Show on YouTube. You have
I'll be back Friday. And so sometime Friday, I'm hoping that I can do the preseason challenge against the Saints.
Okay. Live.
But that's what I'm going to try to kick off on Friday.
That's what's up. Invader says Dolphins just released Tierre Tart, their defensive tackle. He played with the Titans. He played with Houston.
Yeah. How much it costs?
I think you can get him cheap, the fact that he just got released. I don't know if there's a medical issue.
Well, the fact that Khalil Davis is going to probably be out for a while. I think the Niners need to continue to fill that void. You got to find the right depth, man. And the only way you're going to know if they're right, John, is by getting them, plugging them in and see how they work. Look what we did last year. Who did we get? Sebastian Joseph Day. Yeah, like we just had to get players, you know, and just hope that they panned out because we were like depleted in the interior. They got to do the same thing, man, this year. I'm not a really huge fan of T.Y. McGill. He's not really doing what I thought he was going to be able to do. Kevin Givens is more of a pass rushing defensive tackle. So they got to do what they got to do. If he's a run stuffer, I say bring him in.
Yeah, it's funny because I think they have four defensive tackles they like. That top four is kind of set with Malik Collins, Javon Hargrave, Kevin Givens, Jordan Elliott. That's your four. Mm-hmm. I think there's only three defensive ends that they're comfortable with. Nick Bosa, obviously. Leonard Floyd. Andrew Gross Matos. Robert Beale Jr., I thought was my most disappointing player in the preseason game. I was very
Do you think his size is the issue? Because he's just not big enough to set the edge. And so you got to use him differently, right? Like you got to use him as speed. Like get to the quarterback, period. End of discussion.
Right. Yeah. And Nick right here, he says, you know, Breezy John, how true is it? We might go after Hassan Reddick. He does not fit at all what we do schematically. He's one of the worst players against a run in the NFL, has been since he came into the league with all four of his teams. He's a pass rush specialist only. He's me guy only. And so for somebody that's concerned, not that I'm concerned about the locker room, but I saw there was a question earlier about like the contract issues and just whatever else. Hassan Reddick's not a team friendly locker room guy, has not been. You get that many sacks and you get pushed off so many teams, but he's a sack specialist. So I don't know, Wayne, would you go after Hassan Reddick?
Absolutely not. Because I feel like that's what you're trying to develop Robert Beale Jr. to be. Like that is the perfect. There it is. That's the comp. That's what you're hoping. He has the speed. The question is, does he have the ability? Because once he starts getting sacks, everything's going to go be on the up and up for him. He just has to get that first one. But if they're using him not as a pass rush specialist, he's going to suffer. It's almost like Ambry Thomas struggling on the defense. He's more of a press man than he is off man guy, off ball guy. It's just weird.
Dave, he says, you know, defensive tackle injuries give Evan Anderson a shot. They paid him a lot of guaranteed money. Let's see why. He struggled, man. He was getting blown out of his, you know, gap integrity consistently.
Isn't it crazy?
he's a big dude. And
he's
so
a mean dude, but I don't think mean means anything in the NFL. You got to be mean, but be able to hold your weight. And if you're getting pushed around, you're not holding your weight. You got to be the aggressor. He didn't look good.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just one game. Maybe the whole purpose is that you're hoping that they progress every game to make a name for themselves. So we'll see how the next week goes against the Saints.
And we're talking about the number five defensive tackle.
Correct. Like,
that's important to put into perspective. I love this comp from Lee. He says, Hassan Reddick is the Stephon Diggs of defensive ends. That is spot on. there is a mirror there. Like, if you're that talented and you're that productive, but all teams want to get rid of you, that is a sign. Whenever you're everybody's fighting to keep you and everybody wants you, that is a sign. Everybody's fighting to keep Wayne Breezy. That you see what I'm saying? like that's just the way it goes. Last issue, and then there's a couple comments, questions I want to get to that have come through. Special teams. Wayne, I could not be more disappointed this year with special teams, and I've been ranting on this, so I want to take a step back and just hear your overall thoughts.
I have one. I'm just going to spin it in a positive light. Not that you asked me to.
I love it.
But for some reason, I'm going to give Brian Schneider the mother freaking benefit of the doubt. Okay? Here's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. Man, you got Chris Conley starting on as a wide receiver. Where's Chris Conley? Usually play gunner on your special teams. That means he wasn't playing gunner on special teams in the preseason game, right? And so my theory is this. When Schneider loses his special team aces to have to play defense and offense, and then they kind of be removed, then you got to bring the next man up. It's gonna be a little different out there for the special teams. Okay, it's gonna be guys going over pursue. Like Jalen Graham, love the dude. Don't know if he belonged there, but he's trying to make the roster, right? He over pursues that first kick return, misses that tackle, forces Ambry to miss the tackle. Everybody missed the tackle, but the funny thing is Jalen Graham ran him down and made the tackle. So he wouldn't have had to do that if he would have just made the tackle in the first place. That's the special teams. Those guys. Demetrius Flanagan fouls. Like, there's a lot of players that weren't playing special teams in the first preseason game. So, yeah, they were bad. They were terrible, terrible. But I got to give Schneider the benefit of the doubt. I want to see what it's like when he got his aces out there. Now, if the aces are out there and they look terrible, then it's time to talk about moving on from Brian Schneider, just like they did Richard Hightower a few years ago.
Yeah, and Vader's right there with you. Schneider has been no better than Hightower. I agree. And it's not like we're investing. You brought in Ezekiel Turner as a special teamer. You got George Odom. Like, it's not like we have guys on this roster that are bad special teams players.
Agreed. But George Odom was starting where? Safety. So he probably wasn't even on the special teams unit at the time. Now the depth moved up, and they're not panning out. And that's why you get these mistakes.
Yeah. I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to go. And Vicky, you know, she starred this SOS special team. She hit that earlier.
It was bad.
Let's do this. Paul, shout out to Paul Hope and the faithful UK podcast and just the great chapter and amazing humans they are. How confident are you both feeling ahead of this season? So let's do a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being the most confident you've ever been about a 49ers team, 1 being you're probably a Raiders fan. 1 to 10, kind of where would you put that?
Are we taking into consideration that there's no Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams?
All of it, the context, everything.
Oh, damn.
I'm
at a 7. At a 7. Brock Purdy's still our quarterback. He's healthy, right? With Brock, you got a chance. Nick Bosa's healthy. You got a chance. Brock's just going to have to be a little bit better if Trent not out there. It's not a slight at Jalen Moore or Hubbard or whoever's going to be playing left tackle, but, you know, Brock's going to have to see the field a little bit differently. But I'm at a 7. I'm still confident that the 49ers are going to be great because their defense is going to be great. And so with a great defense, probably we'll make a great offense. Get that offense the ball back, let Brock do his thing. I'm confident, but I would be at a 9, 10, 11, 12 if them other two players are back.
There you go. See, whenever I initially saw the question, I thought, and I want to see everybody else's answers. We're getting some answers through here. We got 4, 7, 6.5. But how confident? 10 being most confident you've ever been in a preseason, all that stuff. 1 being, again, you're not a fan. I was going to say 9 off the bat, but then I was like, okay, maybe 8. I'm going to go 8.5 because I still think we have the best roster of football, even with all these injuries. We still got Brock. We still got Shanahan. We still got there's so much talent on this team. Like, if we went through, and this would be a fun, you know, whatever. Let's do 1 through 10 on all 32 teams in the NFL. The only team that should have a higher grade than us is the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, that's it. And they're dealing with major injury issues, too.
Yeah. Hollywood Brown might be out for the season. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how
it's football. It's football, guys. I think with our injuries, when you get them, I think Kyle Shanahan is doing a great job in managing them, right? And so it's like, yep, hamstring injury, it's this grade, he'll be out for this many weeks. But the players are still at camp showing up, working out on the sideline. So that's good. It's not like they're just sitting resting. They're just not running the drills, right? They're not running the level. I haven't been to camp this year, but they're probably not running the drills, but they're doing individual things on the sideline just to warm up, just to be out there, things like that. So they're not major injuries. And the major injuries that we do have, to me, weren't to critical positions. They were to players. They were to depth. So the next man up mentality must be the way to go. They need to put that up in the locker room as they walk. Next man up, next man up, yeah. Next man up, next man up.
It needs to be wheelchair accessible, though, so that the injured guys could be take part in that, too. You know what I mean? That's a little facts. Joke. Probably a bad joke. Papa J, and this would be our last question of the day. When you guys watch film, what are the top things you are looking for? Wade, you want to take this first? What do you think? How do you – because Wade, if you haven't subscribed to his Patreon yet, good Lord, what are you doing? The Wayne Breezy on Patreon. Go support.
You know what I love about, like, the film breakdowns that you – Johnny Dell is another person I like to watch. Johnny Dell is if I can rank you – let's say I take us three, right, and I rank – Johnny Dell's like all Madden. No shot to you, John.
I don't take it as one. He's
no. You teach it differently. Johnny Dell's doing straight up calculus, advanced physics, calculus, and then you break it down to like algebra 2. You know what I'm saying? You know, cool. And I'm arithmetic. Like, you know what I mean?
I love that. I hope Johnny. I'm going to send this to Johnny. That's
great. I'm 1 + 1 = 2. You got the multiplication and some integers and some variables, and then Johnny Dell turns numbers back into letters. But for me, I like to watch, like the mistakes. So I'm looking at like if there's a tackle for a loss, and so what was the call? So when we watch games live, we'd be like, oh, man, he didn't hit the hole hard. And then when you watch the film, you'd be like, oh, shoot, dude forgot to block or missed the block or just didn't block. Like, and so now you understand. And what made me start doing that, John, is when Juwan Jennings came in that Cleveland game and lined up in the backfield. And I don't never want to see that, but he took on the Debo role as the Z, right? And I said, dang, he got blown up. Juwan Jennings should never, ever in his life. And then when I went and watched the film, it was because I believe Jake Brendel just didn't block. Just said, go ahead, hit him, Pike, hit him. Like, it was weird. So it's always a cause to the effect. And so that's what I look at the mistakes and figure out ways that they can kind of like improve. And it gives me clarification. And so I kind of tell everybody, well, this is why it happened. And then I look at explosive plays. Like, what made this an explosive play?
My favorite
play?
Thing you do, man.
Who did the block? Who, you know, stuff like that. And so I even break down the penalties just to see if the refs be cheating, because they call a lot of different penalties on the Niners and sometimes they be off and wrong.
I love it.
So I look at all that. That's what I do. That's my film analysis breakdown. Then when I want to go a little bit more into depth, I hit up John, and then I try to stay away from Johnny Dell, but it's he puts all the cool bells and whistles and the stuff on his job. Like, you know, everybody's different.
And my thing is just from my coaching background. Like, I try – whenever I first started doing the film breakdowns for the Niners, the idea was, oh, this is what I did with my team, right? So we would play the game. We would sit down as a team, and we would go through all of the tape, offense and defense, and all those different things. And I missed it. I don't know what comments got you rolling.
I looked at Dave. So if you're an educator, you will understand what Common Core math was. You will understand it. Like, you understand what he's saying is what I mean. I still don't understand Common Core math, but yeah, like, math is different now.
Oh, that's awesome. But yeah, like, my thing whenever I watch film is just, look, this is why the play worked. This is why the play didn't. And so every play like that, and then you can highlight certain players and all those things, but it's more of like an educational. My thing is I want people to understand football so that the next time they watch the live 49ers game, they know what's happening and why it is working and why it is not. Whereas Johnny Dell's all about the playbook, and he's all about, you know, the terms and the all that stuff, and he's freaking awesome. And shout out to Adam, who's on Johnny Dale's show.
Yes, shout out to Adam. Nashville
with us this weekend. He helped with the 49ers Rush Road Trip event, which was awesome. Such a positive human to be around. Really cool dude. But yeah, this has been a great show. It's been a lot of fun. Wayne is about to go put on the Concert of the Ages out on the island, which I'm pumped about. But anyway, make sure, again, I'm going to start the show the same way we're going to end it. Wherever you are, go type in The Wayne Breezy. If you're on YouTube, type in The Wayne Breezy. You're on Twitter, you're on Instagram, you're on whatever, Patreon, type in The Wayne Breezy and hit that subscribe button. You will not be upset. And Wayne, final thoughts and take us out of this show, my friend.
Final thoughts, man. A couple of weeks from the regular season beginning, and we got the New York Football Jets coming into town. You know what's cool? I know a lot of Jet fans, and they're not confident, and that's what I like. I like that they're not confident. They're not confident. They're not confident. They're not confident because they're a little scared. They know that the 49ers ain't nothing to mess with. I wanted to say ain't nothing to beep with, but a lot of people don't know about Wu-Tang Clan. Faithful, stay up. Make sure you stay faithful. Make sure you support my brother John and all the Rush Road Trips, man. If you can get out there, you don't want to miss those events. We'll see you on the next show. We out.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.